The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit.
I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
This is Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Dr. White is presenting a series of sermons about Christian generosity, and we're calling it Taking Part with a Generous Heart. Today, Dr. White is continuing a message from yesterday's broadcast. Here's Dr. White to introduce today's portion of the sermon.
And today we are going to continue talking about the integrity of generosity. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 16 through 24. And we have seen the goal in an integrous gift. The goal is a regard for what is honorable in the sight of the Lord and in the sight of man, verse 21. And then we looked not only at the goal, but at the gravity. That is, if there's not integrity in this work, then the work will not be completed. And after all, the work that is being done is a gracious work and a generous work, and as we're going to see in just a moment, a glorious work. So we've talked about the goal and the gravity. And in just a moment, we'll pick back up in this sermon, a sermon that's so important to Christian work today because it is a sermon about integrity in Christian finances. Way too many ministries, far too many churches have questionable use of their money. And this is the issue with the goal regarding what is honorable, the gravity completing the work. And today we'll look at the guard and we'll look at the goading as we come back into this sermon, The Integrity of Generosity. Of course, you can always get our archives at randywhiteministries.org. Go to the Listen Online page and look for this series, Taking Part with a Generous Heart. It's our series that studies 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, the generosity chapters. I'm grateful that you've joined us today. I'm Dr. Randy White. Let's get right into the sermon. There's one further word that I want to bring out here. He says, this work is for the glory of the Lord himself. For the glory of the Lord. This is not for Paul. This is not about the church at Corinth. This is not even about those saints in Jerusalem. This one is to the glory of God. How grave is it? How serious is it that we complete this work and we do it in such a way that there's integrity all the way through? He says, if we don't do this with integrity, then that which is gracious, that which is generous, that which is glorious to our God may not make it to its intended goal. It may not glorify God, and he cares about his glory more than he cares about anything else. And so he says, we have a grave situation here. We need to take care of it. Now, if this is his goal, to do what is honorable in the sight of God and man, and the gravity is we've got to complete this all the way to the end because it's gracious, it's generous, and it's for the glory of God, then how does he guard against all of the things that could come about and cause this the administration of the gift to come to be sinful and to derail the project? We come up to verse 16, where he says,
Thanks be to God who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he was not only accepted, he has not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you out of his own accord. Now, here you begin to see how Paul is going to guard the integrity of this gift. And that is, we're going to have lots of eyes on this, independent eyes. We're going to have many little eyeballs looking on something. Have you noticed that you're more sinful when no one's looking than you are when people are watching? I mean, when people are watching, you're goody two-shoes, aren't you? You can walk the straight and narrow just perfect as long as someone's watching. But boy, get out there on your alone. There's a lot of things you can learn about the depravity of man. One of the things you ought to know about the depravity of man is this: never trust yourself alone. You'll get off into sin. I mean, just give the devil a moment of opportunity and you'll be there. Take away my bent towards sinning. We sing in the old song, or prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. It's there with us. So put lots of eyes, accountability that's given there. And so here he comes and he says, first of all, we're going to take Titus. And Titus, it looks like to me, Titus is one who is chosen by the Apostle Paul, who says, I trust Titus, I think you trust Titus, but I'm going to choose Titus, and I'm going to make him as another set of eyes. Maybe he's even saying to the church at Corinth, hey, Titus is here to make sure you all don't pilfer from the offering plate. I'm sending Titus as my representative. Make sure you're putting forth the whole thing. Let's have somebody watch this. We should never be afraid of lights, should we? Should never be afraid of open doors. We should be afraid of secrets. We should be afraid of, no, you can't see that. Especially as it relates financially, and especially as it relates to any kind of Christian ministry or benevolent ministry, there ought to be just a complete openness of accountability and openness of viewability, if you will. I don't know if that's good English, but it's good integrity anyway, is put lots of eyes on the situation and let there be the scrutiny that others may bring along. That'll save you from many sins. So he brings Titus along. Now, Titus certainly was a man of integrity. In fact, Paul later would write a letter to Titus, one of his proteges, if you will. And Paul speaks to him in chapter 3, verse 8. He says, this is a trustworthy statement concerning these things. I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. Careful to engage in good deeds. He'd been teaching Titus this. He had taught Titus this. And now he sends Titus to say, make sure they're careful to engage in good deeds. But as we continue on in verse 18, we have another set of eyes. He says this: we have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through all the churches. And not only this, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work. Now, we have Titus, and we have another brother. His name's not given. I wish he was. It would have saved me a lot of reading this week. Because everybody who ever wrote on anything wrote a page about who they think it was. And then everybody who ever wrote a page on who they think it was always concluded by saying, we don't know. Now, we don't know who this brother of fame was. Maybe it was Luke. Luke, who's considered the evangelist, and hear the word gospel, euangelion, the evangelon. Maybe it was Luke, the evangelist, who wrote the gospel of Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, who did much traveling with Paul the apostle, who had a fame in the gospel. Maybe it was someone else, Apollos, who knows who it was. But there is a brother whose fame in the things of the gospel. Now, if you want to be famous, there's something to shoot for right there. Be famous in the things of the gospel. Maybe this is saying, here's a well-known preacher. Here's a well-known witness. Certainly, it's one who is well-known in their faith and in their faithfulness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The churches knew him. In fact, there's an interesting look here at the organization of the early church. So much we don't know about how the early church was organized, and so much I wish I did know about how the early church was organized. I wish I could open up the Bible and go to their constitution and bylaws and their policy manuals and see how they did things. I'd like to see an old church bulletin from the Corinth days and the Thessalonian days and just see how did they do the things they do. I wonder, did they have committees? Did they have business meetings, all this kind of stuff? I don't know all that, but there is a little glimpse here. He says this brother, whose fame in the gospel is spread through all the churches, was appointed by the churches. I don't know how they appointed him. Maybe they sent around an email to everybody. What do you think? I'm not exactly sure what their appointment process was, but this tells me that there was some degree of cooperation between the church at Berea and the church at Thessalonica and the church at Philippi and this church at Corinth. These are the ones mentioned in these two passages. So at least those churches cooperated together in this and in saying, hey, we're all taking up an offering. Let's come together and let's get a brother who can be our representative. Titus is given, Paul is given Titus. Now let's get somebody on our side to look at this. And so they got together. Now, as I see it, I suppose they probably had a meeting together. And someone probably was the moderator of that meeting. I don't know if that's what they called him or not. But no doubt he got up there. They opened in prayer. And someone said, I make a motion that we appoint this brother of fame to be our eyes on this project. It's a big project. Let's just make sure it's done right. And the moderator said, okay, is there a second? Yes, there's a second. And they went through Robert's Rules of Order, I'm sure. And they had a discussion, pros, cons, whatever it was. But the word here, appointed, has been appointed. You know, it's a Greek word that means the raising of the hand. Looks to me like they got together and they voted. Someone nominated someone, they voted on this brother of fame. And so here's another set of eyes that was given.
Randy White Ministries has a free DVD with 90 minutes of Dr. White's teaching on the very interesting and relevant subject of the Antichrist. To receive this free offer, give us a call today. The toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. When you request the DVD, we will also put you on our mailing list so that you can receive regular articles, devotional material, and even sermon CDs that Dr. White sends out free of charge several times each year. Once again, call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. Now, let's get back to our broadcast.
Now, if you would, jump down to verse 22. He says, we have sent with them, that is with these two brothers, Titus and his brother Fame, we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often tested and found diligent in the many things, but now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you. Paul says, we've already got two, but the third's a charm. Let's bring one more guy into it, and here is a brother of diligence. Again, we don't know who the man is, but the words in verse 22 are business words. And it gives us the impression, anyway, that Paul says, you know, we've got Titus, he's a young pastor. We've got this brother of fame, he's a traveling evangelist that everyone knows, but we need to get a businessman on this. And so they come in and they get this one who's been tested and found diligent in many things. Now he's also got a great confidence in you, and we have a great confidence in him. Let's also bring along this brother of diligence to be a part of it. Now, I think, first of all, there's a general principle and a specific principle here. If you want to be careful about doing that which is right, get somebody to look on it. Tell them what your goal is and have them hold you accountable. That's what these three were doing here, is just making sure you're doing what you said you wanted to do and providing a degree of protection for Paul the Apostle, especially, and for the church at Corinth. Let's make sure that nobody can even be accused of mishandling these funds. Now, how many times in our world today have you heard of God's money or charitable money not ever getting to that which it was intended to do or to accomplish? In fact, it's really not a new problem, is it? Remember
in the Old Testament, after the wilderness experience, there were all those 40 and under who lived through that experience and crossed over into the Promised Land on the through the Jordan River on dry land. And one of those fellows was a guy named Achan. And Achan got there, and he crossed over, and he was a part, no doubt, of that ceremony in which they set up the memorial stones. He was a part, no doubt, of seeing the walls come tumbling down at Jericho and one of the soldiers there. And yet he took that which he was not supposed to take. It was called Corban in the Old Testament. That is, it was under the ban. That is, that's God's stuff. Don't touch God's stuff. But Achan couldn't handle it. And he took that which wasn't his, you remember, and it cost him his life. You can read about it in Joshua. And it also cost them the next battle after Jericho was the battle of Ai. Anyone know how it's spelled? You're brilliant. They lost the battle of Ai. Why? Because there was a lack of integrity by one of the soldiers in the army as it related to the material stuff that belonged to the Lord. Now, later in the New Testament, we see another story that has similar characteristics. There was a man and his wife named Ananias and Sapphira. You remember them, don't you? And they decided to be generous. Honey, other people are selling their land and houses, and they're giving them to this new church that's going. What do you think about doing it? Yeah, I think we should. But as they, I don't know, maybe they began to do some accounting, and they said, well, you know, we've got some debts or some obligations or whatever it is. For some reason, they said, you know, we can only give part of the proceeds, and that would have been okay. But then they said, well, you know, Barnabas, some of the others, they gave everything, and we don't want to look bad. Tell you what, they're not going to know what we sold it for. Let's just tell them we gave all of the proceeds. You remember how Ananias came in and he told Peter, here it is, 100%, fell down dead. Later, Sapphira came in and confirmed the story, and she fell down dead. Why? Because God's serious about the integrity of that which is his. See, they could have come in and said, hey, here's 50% of it or 80% of it, whatnot. Probably would have even been considered generous. But they lied about it. There was not an integrity in the gift that they were giving. Now, here's how that could have been avoided. Ananias could have said to his partner, could have said, you know what, my wife and I are going to sell some things, and we're kind of tempted, honestly, to keep back part of it. Now, I want you to give me some wise counsel. What is it that we should do? And several advisors probably would have helped to save his life, wouldn't they? And here Paul comes and he says, I don't want anyone accusing me of like Achan, taking that goblet and that robe out of this offering. And the Corinthian church says, hey, I don't want anyone accusing us of keeping back a portion of that which was supposed to go to the saints at Jerusalem. And so they come and they guard against it by choosing Titus and this famed brother and this diligent brother, and they bring them about.
Was Benjamin Franklin a man of Christian faith or just a man of Christian virtue? He is one of the most well-known American figures worldwide. He is looked to as the elder statesman of the Founding Fathers, a man of moral virtue, biblical knowledge, and tremendous wit. But was Benjamin Franklin a born-again Christian? Order The Faith of Benjamin Franklin by Dr. Randy White, an easy-to-read 50-page booklet about one of our most famous Founding Fathers. The booklet is only $7.95 and is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Now, let's get back to our broadcast.
Now, one further thing that I need to say here. We've had the goal and the gravity and the guard, and I need another G word, and I have to tell you I had to stretch a little bit. But in verse 24, we have the goading. You ever experienced a goading? That is G-O-A-D. That's what your wife often does to you through the sermon. With her elbow, you know? That's what sometimes the preacher does. That's what sometimes your mentor does. That poke in the ribs a little bit. And here he comes with a little goading in verse 24. When he says, therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and of our reason for boasting about you. You see, he had come and he had been presenting the need. And the need was real. The need of the saints in Jerusalem was very real. They were starving without an opportunity to go out and get a job on their own. If a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. But these brothers couldn't work. It was impossible for them. They had to have their Christian brothers hold their end of the load on this. And so he comes and presents the need. But you know what? I'm convinced that in your giving, need alone is not enough to decide that's where you should give. See, you and I have to decide where we're going to give our gifts and where our generosity is going to be directed, don't we? And there are needs everywhere you look, all around you. The need is certainly there. But one of the greatest financial principles I ever learned, and I've tried faithfully to teach this to my children, is this. The dollar you spend on one thing, you can't also spend on another. You can spend that dollar on this, but don't think you're going to have that dollar later to spend it on something else. So when it comes to the giving of our money, Paul has already come and he said, I want you to give as God has purposed in your heart. But consider the need. And here is a great need. And he pokes them a little bit with it. The need is there, but along with that need, I think there's something else we ought to look for. And that is the integrity of the administration of that need. Am I going to be giving, we'll call them my funds. I know who they really are, don't you? Whose they really are. They belong to the Lord. Am I going to be using this generosity in such a manner in which not only is the need displayed there, but also the integrity of the gift? Now, what Paul does here in verse 24 is he comes and he says, church at Corinth, the need is there. The need is real. And then he says, and we've displayed to you how we're going to handle this in a manner of strict integrity. Now he says, it's time to prove your love. It's time to show us. And he says, prove your love before the churches. Make it known to all. You and I see needs around us. And there are so many churches and ministries and opportunities that not only have a need, but they have some integrity behind them. God says, okay, so now, what are you going to do?
If this series has encouraged you, would you consider supporting our ministry by giving a donation to receive the entire series on CD? The series is offered at a suggested donation of only $16 and includes 5 full-length sermons, nicely packaged for years of good use. You can order on our website, www.randywhiteministries.org, or by calling us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-437-9448. If you prefer, you can also send a $16 check to Randy White Ministries, 600 Pin Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494.
And before we close out today, I just want to pray that you're generous in your finances towards your church, that you're generous in your finances towards those ministries that are a blessing to you. And I want to pray that ministries like ours, when it comes to financial giving, there is integrity. Integrity for the sake of the work, because it is a glorious work. Won't you call us today, 1-855-437-9448, or send me an email, randy@randywhiteministries.org. That's randy@randywhiteministries.org.
We hope you've been blessed from today's edition of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Please contact us today, toll-free, at 1-855-437-9448. Our website is www.randywhiteministries.org, where you can sign up for Dr. White's daily devotional or weekly doctrinal email. If you would like to write us, our address is 600 Pin Oak Road, KD, Texas, 77494. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining us on Word for the World.
God has not abandoned Israel unless the sun didn't come up this morning. God is fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days, but then I'm going to call you back home. If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer life, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
Welcome to Friend of Zion. I'm Dr. Randy White. Scripture in Zechariah chapter 1 was a question asked. How long until you'll have compassion, Lord of hosts, compassion for Jerusalem and the cities of Judah? When that question was asked, the Lord answered the angel who was speaking. The scripture says, with gracious words, comforting words. And gracious and comforting the words would be, as you'll see in just a moment. I love the old hymn that says, sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Well, the question was, how long until you have compassion on Israel and Jerusalem? And the response was gracious and comforting words. And so the angel said in Zechariah 1:14, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion. That sentence right there. Hey, hear it again. I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion. That is what the scripture calls the gracious and comforting words. I don't know about you, but I would be thrilled to know that I had God's attention and that he cared for me. It's a beautiful thought. But for the nation of Israel, the past nation of Israel, the present nation of Israel, the future nation of Israel, we have these words of scripture that the Lord of hosts, God Almighty, is exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion. Isn't it shameful then that there are too many preachers, Christians, church members, even denominations that they're not only exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem, but they are exceedingly jealous against Jerusalem. In fact, on the part of way too many, especially in the world, but often in the church, there is a disdain and a hatred for Israel. Sometimes someone even says Israel and the eyes go to rolling and they say, oh, please give me a break. Friend, I'm going to line up on God's side. He's exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, may that jealousy come into my heart and my mind as well. And when I have an opportunity to be a blessing to the one for whom you are exceedingly jealous, may I be that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Friend of Zion. I hope you go to our website, friendofzion.com. We're raising some funds to help feed Holocaust victims in Israel. And just a small donation, you'll find the donation button at friendofisrael.com. I'm Dr. Randy White.